Okay.
So what I want to do tonight, thank you all really, really much for showing up. This is a dry run for what I hope will be an article. And I want to engage in a brisker reconstruction of the Rav's position about why converts can receive smicha. So I'm going to kill the suspense up front about whether the Rav thinks converts can receive smicha. He does. And I think it's actually important. I realized that when I gave a version of this shiur in shul this Shabbos, and at the end of it, Rabbi Chesis happily raised his hand and said, "Do you have any explanation for why halacha has any discrimination against converts at all, since we have, after all, these mitzvahs called Ahavas Ager?" And I realized that I had completely blown the shiur from the perspective of teaching Balabata, because that's really what bothers them. And I was, you know, I was so caught up in the lumdas that I was giving a shiur to people who assumed that there were all these isurim, and I was going to find a way through it. So I did also there, you know, I think it might even have been titled "Can Converts Receive Smicha?" Which was probably a mistake pedagogically. People shouldn't even have the Havamina. So tonight we're starting "Why Can Converts Receive Smicha?" and we're going to kill the suspense that way. And the only issue is why and not whether. Okay, so now how do I know that the Rav thought converts can receive smicha, aside from the reality that there are converts who have received smicha from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, but you know that not everything that happened in YU was necessarily with the approval of the Rav. So there are two books that state this. One is a book called Halachic Positions by Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Volume 2, by Rabbi Aaron Ziegler, I believe, Allah Shalom. He's a very nice man. I met him at a wedding. A student. So it's a very interestingly titled chapter in which he talks about whether converts can be shul rabbis. That's the title of the chapter, but he never actually discusses that. He just talks about the only evidence he has from the Rav is whether converts can receive smicha, and the rest of it is all his speculation. It's a fascinating chapter. But he says yes. And in a volume called Shari Tzedek, Rabbi Yonah Reis, who's the former menahel of this institution, was kind enough to send me this article. So he reports that when he was menahel of Reis, he asked his predecessor, Rabbi Zvulun Harlap, and Rabbi Harlap also reported that the Rav had said that converts can receive smicha. Now, the question is, what else do they report? So they each report that the Rav said that obviously converts can receive smicha because there's a Tosfos that quotes Rabbi Avraham Ger.
Ah.
So Tosfos Rabbi Avraham Ger, so obviously he had smicha. Now, the problem is that actually our Tosfos has abbreviation of the hey Reish, who knows what that means. Can we really distinguish? Right? If you read Rabbi Ziegler's position, it calls Reb Avraham Ger Rav. Right, so Reb, Rav, right, who can tell the difference? It's not the world's Edo, and it's a Tosfos. I don't know that we want to derive halachic implications from the citations. There's one version of Tosfos which has the hey Reish Reish. Maybe that's a little bit better of a proof. But I don't know if I want to build on gears of things.
It's a funny
Tosfos. Also, it's a Rabbi Avraham Ger talking about, this is the famous thing that when it says Kashin Gerim Lishrol Kasapachat, it means because they're so much better than we are. So Rabbi Avraham Ger had a little bit of a stake in this one. So that's not the time when you want to start calling somebody Mister. When he's giving a word like this. Rabbi Chalap remembered further that in the Rambam's Tshuva to Rabbi Avadya Hager, he refers to him as Marana Virabana Ovadya, Hamaskil HaMevin Ger HaTzedek.
And he's the Rambam.
So the Rambam called the Ger Rabbana. You know, this is not earth-shattering. This is not earth-shattering halakhic evidence, as you all recognize. But what's really interesting about it to me is that nobody reports a rationale. Right, they report that the Rav gave a conclusion, and they report that he gave evidence, but they don't offer a rationale. So we are left to reconstruct the rationale, because there is no report of the Rav speaking about this issue that I'm aware of in which he offers his own rationale. Okay, so now I want to talk about the rules of the shir. So what I'm trying to do in this shir, first of all, it's a brisker reconstruction, so we're only going to talk about ideas. What I mean by that,
like you say, we're only going to talk about the Rambam.
That's true. We're also only going to talk about the Rambam. No other Rishonim exist. And we have now, it's a brisker reconstruction of the Rav's position, which means that I have absolutely no interest in evaluating whether anything the Rav says is true. I want to understand, right? I want to make a claim and right about what the Rav said, but I don't in any way, I'm not wish to engage in the conversation about whether what the Rav said is true. But it's a reconstruction in this, and not a pure brisker share. Yeah, that what I want to do is rigorous intellectual history, right? So I am. At this point, I guess people should please share if you're coming to the share.
Yeah, so just make sure to sign in.
And please sign in here, the sign-in sheet. So what I am really interested in is trying to not only prove to the best I can why the Rav said converts can have smicha, and to understand as clearly as possible the ideas that led to that, but I'm also going to do some intellectual history. So I wanted to try and prove as best I can how the Rav got to the point where he said that. So you're entitled to challenge me on any claim I make about what the Rav said, but we're not interested in evaluating what the Rav said against any external evidence. Okay, so we have right now is we have two reports. One that Rabbi Ziegler doesn't tell me how he knows this, so I can't tell you what his report is, and one from Rabbi Reis, from Rabbi Chalap, in which he says that Rabbi Chalap was told directly. Yes?
Before we start, can I ask a meta question about the value of this exercise? Namely, what is it?
So, what I would say is, first of all, Torah, you know, understanding okay. The Rosh Shita is a valuable thing. It may be that there are contemporary implications beyond Gerim for this shir. But I would not wish
doing,
to...
Is doing a brisker reconstruction like a way to find... Is brisker reconstruction lead in a straight and neat and narrow line to any implications at all?
I believe my attempt will be to demonstrate really, really clearly what the Rav thought and why he thought it.
Okay.
And then I leave to you, okay. A, what are the halachic implications of the Rav thought X, or hashkafic implications, right? And B, since I am discussing the issue of Gerim, there might be other parallel issues that could conceivably have implications, which, you know, might distract us from the shir. Okay, so now, it would be fine if you said that the Rav said you can give smicha to Gerim because there's a Tosfos that calls somebody initial, but it might stand for Rabbi Ger, if there was no reason not to give Gerim smicha. So is there a reason not to give Gerim smicha? So here we're in B. So the Rambam says, Ein ma'amidin melech mikahal Gerim apilu acha kamadorot ad shetia imam Yisrael. So you can't appoint a king unless he has direct from Sinai Jewish descendant mother. Shenemar lo tuchal etet alecha ish nachriya sher lo chichahu. And then the Rama says, lo l'malchut bilvad, and this is not only true of monarchy, ela l'chol srarut b'Yisrael, or srarut b'Yisrael, wherever you want to put the vote, right? But for all positions of this undefined category called srara, which, now that I'm using the term sar again, right, not a sar tzava, not a sar chameshim, and not a sar asara. Okay, then he says, afilu memuna al ama tamayim shemechalek imena l'sadot, even if you're chief of an irrigation ditch, but that irrigation ditch controls the distribution of water to others, ve'ein tzarich lomar dayan o nasi shlo yehe elam Yisrael. And it's not even necessary to say that you cannot make someone... Now we should point out the Rambam first says Ashi to Imam Yisrael. The second time he says Shlo Yehe Elam Yisrael. Maybe those terms mean different things. Let's assume that they don't for now. So all these categories, you don't even need to mention Dayan or Nasi. And now the problem is the Rambam quotes a second proof text. Shenamar Mikar V'Chicha Tosim Alecha Melech Kol Mesim Alecha Tamasim Lo Yehe Elam Mikar V'Chicha. So we have two terms, right? Srara and misima, they have different proof texts, and we don't know exactly where the right. We can be pretty clear that the Ein Tzarich Lomar line comes from misima, and if you say Ein Tzarich Lomar, so probably it means that even in terms of srara, you couldn't be a dayan, but you don't even have to mention that in terms of srara because there's a second prohibition called misima. Okay, so that would be a pretty, that might be a reason that you couldn't give a ger smicha, because you might think that smicha in some way relates to being a dayan, and being a dayan appears to be a violation of both the prohibition of giving a ger srora and giving a ger to a misima. Then the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin goes further and says, Beitin shel shlosha, shahaya achad mehen ger, hareze pasul. Okay, not only can you, right, is it usher to appoint them, but in fact, a ger which has such a, which a bezdin which has a ger on it is pasul, completely. Okay. Right, and then he tells you that that a mamzerim are kasher to be done, and people who are blind in one eye are kasher, but even they cannot be on a Sanhedrin. Right, if you're blind in one eye, you can't be on a Sanhedrin. But then he tells you later on, a kol ksherim ladun dini mamonos, a filu ger v'ushi etia imam Yisrael, and a ger can be done at chaveru ger, v'chein ha-mamzer v'asumah ba'achad me'inav kasher ladun dini mamonos, but a filu dini nefashos can only be judged by kohanim levim v'yisraelim ha-masiyim l'kuna, lo yech, right, and you can't even be blind in one eye for dini nefashos. Okay, a ger can't be, obviously can't be on a bezer for nefashos either. And then he tells you that if you have a chacham mufla shosuma be'ena achas, if you have a spectacular scholar who is blind in one eye, afal pi shuru'i lidini mamonos, even though he is fit for mamonos, ein somchino to lidini mamonos, right, so there are people who are kosher to be done dini mamonos, but you can't give them smicha. Why? Because people who are not kosher for all forms of dayanos cannot be given smicha for any form of dayanos. Okay, so
in general, that's not okay, but this is the Rambam Shita in how classical Moshe Rabbeinu smicha.
Absolutely,
works.
Absolutely. So the end of this is absolutely clear that Gerim cannot have classical smicha, because for Gerim to have classical, right, because Gerim are, first of all, they can't have Sroro or a Masima, and classical smicha sounds like a Sroro and a Masima. They can't be dayanim. They can't be dayanim for anything. It seems even for mamonos, except if there's a, in a situation of kfiya, and even if you thought that you could find some way that a ger could be kosher for some things, but the Rambam says you can't give smicha to somebody unless they're kosher for everything. So gerim are utterly excluded from classical smicha. So the only possible explanation for the Rav saying that Rav Yitzchok Elchanan, the yeshiva, can give a ger smicha, is that obviously there is a radical disjunction between contemporary smicha and classical smicha. Except, now if we look at source C,
there's another option.
Except in source C, the Rambam says that in his chain of the Masoret, the Rambam says, Yehuda ben Talbai v'shuvim shetach v'ezdina kibla miyeshuv ben prach v'nitar beli v'ezdina. Shmaya ve'avtayon geri atzedek uveit dinam. Kiblu miyuda v'shimon v'shimon. Shmaya ve'avtayon geri atzedek uveit dinam. I thought that any bezdin that had a ger on it was completely puzzle. So how could you have a bezdin of Shmaya ve'avtayon? So you'll tell me, as some Rishonim do, Shmaya ve'avtayon weren't really geri atzedek. They were just descendants from geri atzedek. That's why I gave you the rest of it, where the Rambam says, right, there's Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, who accepted Ezra Gadol, v'Yosef aviv ger tzedekaya. So the Rambam knows perfectly well, another place he talks about arba meham hayu mekahal gerim, and the Rambam knows perfectly well how to distinguish between people who are actual gerim and people who are descendants of gerim. Also, in the Parash Mishnayos, in two places, the Rambam goes out of his way to tell you that Shmaya and Naftalion were gerim, and that's why they had difficulty pronouncing Hebrew, and also why they suggested that you don't. They also have their shita about whether you're mashka sota, a sota georis. The Rambam thinks they had their position only because they were gerim. So the Rambam really holds that Shmaya and Naftalion are geri tzedek, and he really puts them in the chain of tradition, which means that it's no longer compelling to say that the explanation for the Rav is a disjunction between classical smicha and contemporary smicha, because it solves nothing. We have the exact same contradiction within classical smicha. And what I would suggest is, therefore, it's more likely that whatever explanation the Rav has for classical smicha is also his explanation for contemporary smicha, and they actually are based on the same principle as opposed to a disjunction. Okay. now we're going to start the intellectual history. Right? What did the Rav, right? We're going to try and construct what the Rav thought about smicha generally, why the Rav thought that, and then how that plays into the question of gerim and classical smicha, and then we'll try and see if there's a reason to think that we could move from classical smicha to contemporary smicha, bearing in mind that whatever solution we come up with has to solve the Sura and Masima problems. And also explain how the Rambam can say that a bezin with a ger on it is puzzle. Okay, so here we go. The Rambam, now we're in source D, page 3, section D. So the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Bet Halacha Yud Yud Aleph says the following. Even though you can't have a bezin pachos mishlosha, but a yachid can be done. But the Chachamim said that even though D'oraisa could be done, that there should be three, and two doesn't count at all. If you have somebody who's a mumcha l'rabim, or who has reshut from a beitin, hareze mutter lo ladun yechidi, aval eno chashuv beitin. So that's a really interesting line, which almost makes you suspect that the Rambam was a brisker. That he can be done, but when he's done, he's not considered a beitin. What does he mean by that? So if we take a look in Perek Hey Halach Yudchet, right, he spells it out, right, as clearly as you could want. Yachid shu mumcha l'rabim, afal pishu dun mumadus yechidi, so there we have that line, that line again, that when an individual judges, it's mutter for him to judge, but his judgment is not the judgment of a Beit Din. Even if he has smicha. But if you have a Beit Din of three who are not smuchim, they're just lay people. Okay, so the Rambam tells you clearly, right, just on the terminology, there's a din Elohim, and the din Elohim is a din in smicha, and there's a din Bezdin, and they're disjoint. Yes?
So, does this difference apply to other things that we require a Bezdin for, such as can three hadiotos require shvuas vodat b'miktsas, shvuas hashomrim?
Excellent question, I don't know.
So, it would seem that that would be the test case of whether this chiluk
excellent
really exists.
Absolutely. Well, the chiluk exists. The Rambam says it, right? What the meaning, right? What does it mean, right? What is right? What requires din bezdin and what requires Elohim, and what on earth does it mean to say that you can be done without being a bezdin? That's a mystery right now. Okay, Muda. And right. So I should say I will try for the best of my ability this year until we get to L or something like that. I will try to say absolutely nothing of my own ideas or in my own words. All right, so you're asking the right question, and happily Rav Chaim answered it. Okay, so here I'm going to be relying in this shir very heavily on Rabbi Reichman's Rishimot Shiurim, which, so far as I know, are perfectly accurate. And but I have no way of getting behind that. Right, I don't have tapes of the Rav Shir where I'm going to pull out. Sometimes it's fun. I would say one of the things that I. The moments I enjoy, which taught me a lot about history, is that in Professor Gurak's book, The Men and Women of Yeshiva, there's this dramatic moment where the Rav is giving the speech called the ghost speech of the Chag HaSmicha before the charter change, and Rabbi Gurak has this really exciting moment where the Rav gets up and he says, and despite all these things, I have told my students not to picket the Chag HaSmicha, and a student gets up and says, Rebbe, there are 300 students outside, and the Rav says, my heart is with them. And Professor Gurak has footnotes from 20 eyewitnesses saying it was there. And it's really cool because we have the tape. There's a half-hour gap. it's really cool. So I don't think the tape was available at the time Professor Gorak wrote the book. But I don't have any of that here, right? As far as I am concerned, what Rabbi Reichman says is absolutely unimpeachably true. So here's what Rabbi Reichman says. Uvir zekeno shel mori v'rabbi nunyud. The grandfather of my Rebbe, the Rav Chaim, said. Okay, so if when he quotes Rav Chaim, I don't believe that this exists in the Chidushei Rav Chaim Halevi al Rambam. It could be in the stencils. I haven't checked the stencils. It could be in some other pirated work. I'm trusting Rabbi Reichman is quoting Rav Chaim the way the Rav quoted him. And that's our only interest here. So he says, V'ir zikna shomori nunyud, hagon Rav Chaim zatzal, shlodas harambam, ein liyachid mumche shem bezdin. That's fine. Okay, we knew that. So here's his line. Ma shimora b'dini mamonos, who kein horas hachacham beisr veheter. When Yachin Mumcha is done, he's done in the way he's done isr veheter, not the way he's done mamonos. Avol ein horas hu chala kipsak din al hanidonim. A yachid mumcha has in his hands the horot horas haTorah. He can do right. Ulahachria et sheela tamomon shabao lefanav b'mchinas halacha. He can right. He can determine the question of who the money belongs to from the standpoint of halacha, but he doesn't have the power to make this a binding psak din on the litigants. Okay, that's a, right. That's Rav Chaim's distinction. He puts he's right. So now we have terms. We have the term hora like iser v'heter. That's what a yachid mumcha can do. And then we have the chalos psak din al nidonim. Now this may seem like a really weird shita, and but it's repeated right. And if you look at the Rishima Shurim in two other places, he says the right. Israel Reichman says this position consistently. Then he tells you right. So smicha is what gives you the capacity to give hurrah. Right. If you look at on the last paragraph in right, Bavakama Dafida, Lafiza Yose, Shekoach HaHorah B'dini HaTorah Novea MeHasmicha Shekibel HaSamoch. Smicha is necessary for the Chalos Shem Horah, and only the Ra of a Samoch is considered Horah's Din Torah. And without Smicha, you don't have Horah. What you have is Egilui Milsa Be'alma Shekach Hu HaDin. So what a non-Samoch can do is not Horah. All that a non-Samoch can do is look in a book and tell you this is the law, but a non-smuchim can impose the law on you. They can't decide what the law is, but once the law is known, they can impose the law on you. And the Rav's raya from this is that a zaken mamre has to be a samoch, because if he's not a samoch, he can't give hurrah, and without hurrah, you can't be a zaken mamre, because right, that it requires hurrah. Okay, now this is a very strange notion. What does it mean to determine the law in the context of a lawsuit without imposing on the litigants? So here I would just say, on my own, the Rav doesn't say this, but I thought there's a useful analogy possibly, which is the role of arbitration courts, and particularly of Bate Din in the American legal system. So if you sue somebody in Bez Din, right, after signing a binding arbitration agreement under American law, right, so use the prenup. All an arbitration court can do is determine what the law is. An arbitration court is not allowed to order enforcement. It can't hold you in contempt. What we can do as a Beis Din is we can give you a piece of paper saying that we have ruled this way, and then you can take the piece of paper to a secular court and say and ask the secular court to enforce the judgment. So there actually is an analogy in contemporary law that I think we all recognize that there is a difference between the determination of the law and the imposition of the law. Yes?
I think that the Gemara here, where the Tosfot is and where the that Tosfot is from in the Rishonot Shirim, I think there the concept of the Baal Edin being the Kabel, the Mumchel Rabim upon them, like, exists. Like, it's even the Gemara itself talks about arbitration. It's not, I think,
sure,
the Rav is.
But we would think that if there's arbitration, right, so that means that when you're kiblu alayu, what you're doing is you're saying that I accept the chalos din. What's the point? There's no basis in the Gemara offhand for saying that there's a purpose in going to a court which does not have enforcement capacity. Right, that's Rav Chaim's chiddush in the Rambam, is that right, a yachid at the end of a yachid mumcha, unless you were kiblu alayu, he can judge you maybe without kiblu alayu. At the end of that, what you have is a piece of paper and you know what the halacha is. But nobody can do anything with it. Well, you want a nafkamina, we can talk about tfisa. Right? Maybe I can be done, maybe if I've gone to a yachid mumcha and he's judged, I can be done din la'atzmi, and then if you try and take it back, I'll say, but look, it's mine. Okay, this is the first yisod from Rav Chaim. Okay, Rav Chaim says that the explanation of the difference between the din Elohim and the din Bezdin is that the din Elohim is a din hora which requires smicha. The din Bezdin can happen without a hora. Right, the din Bezdin is simply an enforcement of a halacha which is known by whatever means. It can be known to a samach because the samach is giving hora, or it can be known to adiotos because they looked it up in art scroll.
So in that case, would that mean that a din Bezdin allows you to, for example, administer Shavuos HaShagrim, while a din Elohim would allow you to, I don't know, make an Eved Nirtza or something?
Could be.
What's the difference? Where
the difference is that a I imagine a simple thing is that first of all, the difference is Hoda, right? Second difference is whether the Shotrim can enforce it. Right? And I apologize, I never recognize people out of context, but I know your names. What is your name again?
Yitzchak Friedman.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I recognize you. These are all great questions. The Rav didn't talk about them, so I know nothing. Nothing at all. I'm only interested in the Rav. Right? Speculation is right. And if I were interested in Dini Mamonos, I would do that, but I'm not. I'm interested in Gerim. I have no idea. It would be very interesting. I like giving productive shirim where other people can give shirim afterwards. I'm trying to be very disciplined. I only want to talk about what the Rav talked about. I don't want to talk about anything the Rav didn't talk about. Okay. So this is one idea from Rav Chaim. Okay. Now we turn to E. Okay, so here we have Ram Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha, Zion through, I'm not sure this goes all the way to Yud Aleph. Okay, Dinei Mamonos, V'chein HaTumos, V'chein HaTaros. So we have a class of Dinim, which includes Mamonos, which we understand, and Tumos and Taros, which we might not. In all these areas, Av Uvno, father and son, Harav Talmido, teacher and student, Mononotan Bishnayim, they can vote together on the verdict. Seems like it. They can vote together on the case. But Dinei Nefashos and Makos and Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, then you can only count them as one. Okay, what? Avub no? Voting together? How could that possibly be? Krovim can't be Danim on the same Bezdin. So the Rambam says, Zeshon and Monina Avim Ben, Bein Be'echad Bishnayim, this which we count them, Kegon Shaya Echad Mehen B'Sanhedrin, it's as if one of them was in the Sanhedrin, V'Hashen Hayam Inat Talmidim, and the second one is among the students. Sha'amar Yeshi Lame Tzchus Erchova, and so you have this vision of the Sanhedrin is sitting there, and the Bezdin is sitting there, but it gives us Sanhedrin images, and there's a row of students in front of them, and they debate in public, and the students have the right to interject, to raise their hand, and say, "I have something to say that you guys haven't thought of." Except they're really polite; they wouldn't say that, right? I have something to say that the honored Rebbeim haven't thought of.
Right.
Okay.
One of the requirements for a Beit Din is having people to fulfill that role.
Excellent. All for it. So what happens is, so Shomin Dvarav, so we listen to, right, we listen to him, Vinostin Imo, and we engage in debate with him, right, in give and take, Vininan Imo, and we vote with him. Bishat Gemar Din, but at the time of Gemar Din, Ein Gomer Din Bikrovim, Shadyanim Krovim Psulim Ladun, Kemoshi Isbayer. Right, by the time of Gemar Din, you cannot complete the din with the relatives. And if you have a Talmud who's really smart but lacks Bekiyos, so his Rebbe can spoon feed him the Bekiyos, and then he can participate in the conversation. He can give him the Kabbalah. So what on earth is this? You listen to him, you engage in conversation with him, and you vote with him. But you can't finish the judgment. What is this for? Straw votes? Right, so people know which way the wind is blowing? So the Ravid says, "Zeshon emonin avav ben echav b'mishnayin yon." Amar Avram chayi roshi, and he lower roe lo tam lo reak b'dvarim elu. Kilamasu matan my minyanika. What is the purpose of this straw votes? So you can tell me. I have an idea, right? We know that it's usher to do pshara once you know which way the din is nota. So the purpose of the first vote is to tell you whether it's still mutter to do pshara or not. That wasn't what you were thinking of, Yehuda. Yeah. Okay, even cleverer. I confess. Great. Cool. Ravid doesn't buy it at all. Ravid says, right, what kind of vote could you have? Masamatan of Ashas Gemar Din. The vote is at the time of the Gemar Din. And by the way, he says the whole thing that generated this in the Rambam is just a typo. There really is no case where you count this to, right? Our manuscripts are more accurate, and this is just a mistake. Okay, that's what the Ravid says, right? That the Rambam just makes no sense at all. But we obviously don't care. We think the Rambam meant it, right? And the Rambam's Gersa is correct because we're briskers. So, right, so the so right so along we go and we say Las Baras Psaka Rambam Hatamua to explain this puzzling statement of the Rambam. Hey, and here we go again. Hey, Allah, Hagon Rav Chaim Zatzal Shalafia Rambam Yeshnan Shtei Amidos Laminim Bevezdin. Right, Rav Chaim said the Rambam actually does have two votes.
Two votes.
Minyan Rishon. Here's the first minyan. Right. Bishas Maso Matam, which takes place during the conversation about the halacha. Shu mishtayech lehoras ha-halacha mibechinas hilchos ha-torah belil ha-tilas hora k'din al-hanidonim. The first vote is to, my formulation in English, to determine the law. The first vote is the hora. L'shem kach af ha-psulim nimnin kishnayim. For that sake, you can count relatives. K'ena psulim lehoras hilchos ha-torah. Because if we say there's a psul kirva, that does not relate to the right to hora'ah. That is a psul in hatalas hadin al anidonim. Right, minyan sheni bishas kamardin shuba lahatil din Torah al anidonim l'shem kach nifsul psulim. Okay, all of you get that this the chakira of chaim in both places is fundamentally the same chakira.
Why would that yes. not apply to din pashas?
Next line, excellent. What's your name? Excellent. Right. That's exactly the next line of Rechaim. I'm just stopping for a moment to make sure that we all understand that the two chakiras are the same. Right. In each case, in the first case, in terms of Yachid Mumche versus Bezdin, in the second case, it returns Dini Mamonos versus Dini Nefashos, which he then says, really, in terms of the what I guess I would say in letter D, what we learned is that Dini Mamonos can be done has separable components. There is the Hora and the Hatalas Adin Al Nidonim. And in E, we learn that not only are those components separable, but they also can be done consecutively in a bezin. They have different stages. Now, why not dinei nefashos? So he goes on to say, in dinei mamonos, you have this two-stage process. The shlav hora is hilchas ha-toro, shlav ha-tol is dinei balei dvarim. V'ilu b'dinei nefashos, makos, v'kiddush ha-chodesh, shnei ha-shlovim mitzarfim le-echad. Okay, but in dinei nefashos, you cannot... In dinei nefashos, they are not separable. Why are they not separable in dinei nefashos? That is a really good question, which we're not going to answer just yet. Okay, right now we have is, and what I'm saying is right now where we are, is we are where the Rav is when he approaches the sugya, which is to say the Rav approaches the sugya with his Kabbalos from Rav Chaim, and he has the Kabbalah from Rav Chaim that you can separate in the realm of Mamonos. You can separate these two categories called Hora'as HaTorah and Hatalas HaDin Al HaNidonim. Okay, and now here we are in 1930 or whatever it is. Okay, right, the Rav has now left his grandfather's house and he is approaching the sugya on his own. And what does he have to contribute that, right, beyond Rav Chaim, but knowing that but starting from Rav Chaim. So here we go. Here we are in source F. So in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it says that Ibur HaChodesh requires a bezdin of three. The Rav assumes that for good reason, but not reason that matters to us right now, that although the completion of Kiddush HaChodesh can be done by a bezdin of three, it has to be authorized by the Sanhedrin. Then the Rav says, interestingly enough, in Perek Aleph of Sanhedrin, it never mentions Kiddush HaChodesh as something that requires a bezin shel shuvim ve'echad. Why not? If Kiddush HaChodesh really requires the authorization of bezin ha-gadol, why is it mentioned only among those things that require a bezin of three, and not among those things that require a bezin of 71? So in the article Kviyas HaMoedim al-Pi Ariyaveh al-Pi HaChesbon that is published in Kovetz Chiddushei HaTorah, the Rav makes the following chakira. He says that the Sanhedrin really has two functions. One is its function behilchos dinei Torah. De bez nagal b'yishlayim ikar Torah shbal fev mudi arav v'mehem chok mishpat yotzei l'chol Yisrael v'hu haposek hamachria b'chol dinei Torah, and this comes from Zakin Mamre. Okay, what's category A? Category A is posek u'machria b'chol dinei Torah, and it comes from Zakin Mamre.
What is the law?
Okay, you all get This is the same thing that smuchim do, as a yachid mumcha, and it's the same thing as the first vote that Rav Chaim talks about. The second half, however, is not so neat. He says there's a second role of the Sanhedrin, which is not that, which is kol hecha debeinan das kol Yisrael ohaskamasam ochalos maaseh shel klal Yisrael. So role number one of the Sanhedrin is to be the source of Hora'ah. Role number two of the Sanhedrin is to be the representative of Klal Yisrael, or another way of framing it is the symbolic sovereign. Yes, Joshua.
So an example would be like for Egla Rufa, you don't send the entire Sanhedrin, you send like three members of the Sanhedrin.
But there... That might be the very same kind of category.
Right, so it's the Sanhedrin is involved, but you don't need all. It's not
based in Haggadah. So the Rav claims, whether this is compelling or not, is not my issue. The Rav claims that the first mission of Sanhedrin, when it lists the things that require a Sanhedrin, it's only talking about those things. It's not talking about any of those things that require a Sanhedrin, but Torah's Klal Yisrael. Right. That's why the first Mishnah leaves out Kiddush HaKodesh. In that level, also Egla Rufa as Shivim Bechad, right? Same principle. Okay, so we have two roles of the Sanhedrin. One of them is the role that we saw, the role that a Yachid Mumcha can do, and that an Avin Ben can participate in the minyan for. And the other one is one we have not seen previously, right? Which is probably a din. Right, for now, we can say a din in the Sanhedrin Agadol. Not necessarily in every Bezdin, which is the idea of being the representative of Klal Yisrael. Yes?
These two functions are in addition to Hatalas?
Oh, we haven't talked about where the Sanhedrin has Hatalas and Chod. Good, right? Okay. Well, the Rav says that there's a one function called Hora and one function called Hatalas and Yisrael. We haven't thought about Hatalas and Chod yet at all. Okay, now, that's from the article Kviyas HaModim Al Pi Ri'ah Al Pi HaCheshbon. Then, the Rav also points out, we're now in letter G. The Rav points out that that there seems to be a tension or a stira or a dialectical relationship, whatever you want, in Chazal as to what the role of Moshe Rabbeinu is in the judicial system. In some places, I just gave you a random example, it talks about Moshe as acting together with a Beit Din, Moshe Uveit Dino. And in other places, it talks about Moshe acting in place of the Sanhedrin. All right, so the Rav treats this as an apparent stira. Right? Does Moshe Rabbeinu need anybody else? Or is it just him? And his solution is as follows. This is an article called Binyan Takanas Moshe. All right, he says that there is a time when Moshe Rabbeinu, in his relation with Sanhedrin, right, he asks, Kimosh, L'chol bezin shel gimel chav gimel v'chayotze b'hem, tachlito hu hora u'psak, u'kifi nuschas hasmicha, yore v'yadin. Hevi omer hu nismach l'hora v'zeo tafkido ha'ikari. And there's a second thing which is called kiyum devorim. Mekayim v'gomir ma'asim yedu'im. L'mashal bezin shel chalitza. Okay, so now we have another category, right? Category one is... Right, sounds like hora, and category two is a kiyum of dvarim. So, what is this thing called kiyum dvarim? Right, it's not the same thing. It doesn't sound like the exact same chakira as the representative of Klal Yisrael. Right, so that you're creating a maase bezdin. So as best I recall, 30 years ago, when I was in Rav Rosenzweig's Shir in Sanhedrin, he put these two ideas together. I didn't know at the time that Rav had published them in these articles. And he said, actually, the Rav believes that the Sanhedrin has three roles.
Oh, I think they have like four roles.
There are more. Sure.
30 years later, it's up to four.
Sure. The original Chakir, as I recall, was three. That's as best I recall. Memory from 30 years ago, I don't have notes. So I won't be able to write Rishimos Rishorim. It'll have to be Zichron Eshirim. There is the role of Horah. There is the role of creating a Maaseh Bezdin, and there is the role of representing Klal Yisrael. And the question that matters to us is this role called Kiyum Dvarim the same thing as the right as what we call Hatala Sachok al Hanidonim. Just it happens that the classic example of implementing the law for a bezin less than the Sanhedrin is the implementation of a verdict, whereas the Sanhedrin is right. Sanhedrin's primary role in that capacity is not the implementation of a verdict, but the creation of a chalos shem.
Or like minui melech, minui kohen gadol.
Yeah, those are examples he gives.
Right.
So it could be that there are four, and that we distinguish Hatala Sachok al Nidonim from Maaseh V'Kiyem Bezdin, or it could be that there are only three, and Hatala Sachok al Nidonim is an example of the creation of a Kiyem, of a Kiyem Maaseh Bezdin. But we have, right, we have something that we have to add into, actually, before, working within that framework, right, at least three roles and maybe four for the Sanhedrin, and we can see that the two roles that are not Horah seem to be breaking off from Rav Chaim's distinctions in terms of Beis Din. But the Rav held consistently on the basis of Hilchos Mamrim, that this, where the Rambam begins by introducing the Beis Din Gadol B'Yerushalayim Hem Ikar Torah Shebal Peh Ve'Hem Limudei Horah Ve'Hem Chok U'Mishpat Yotzei L'Chol Yisrael. So the Rav did not see these, or I did not understand these as being three separate functions. He understood these as three facets of the central function of the Sanhedrin, which was the first role, right, the Horah role. Okay, but we're not quite clear. Right? What we have is Rav Chaim separating two roles of ordinary Batei Din, and saying that a Samuch is necessary for one of them and not necessary for the other. We have the Rav creating a similar Chakira in the roles of the Sanhedrin, but we can't be entirely sure that it's exactly the same chakira. Right, nor do we know whether the Sanhedrin's roles are divisible. Right, in the Maimonides, Rav Chaim claimed that the roles were divisible in part in the process. In the Sanhedrin, right, the Rav is claiming that there are different things that the Sanhedrin does that relate to different judgments. We have any kind of division within the judgment.